There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Edition of What's On Your Mind. I have left the sea of insanity known as the Washington, D.C., back on North Dakota soil for...
And you notice what happened as soon as you left?
What happened?
They legalized small amounts of marijuana.
There you go. See? I make my point,
Todd Mitchell. You have left the insanity, haven't you?
I'm Scott Hannon. The voice you hear there is Todd, the radio god Mitchell of 550 KFIRE, AM 1100 The Flag, AM 1090 KTGO, 1460 KLTC. Is no doubt where you're listening at this very moment. Could be iHeartRadio or one of our online apps, and we're glad you're listening to the program we call What's On Your Mind. Congressman Kevin Cramer in this first hour for the Talk Radio Town Hall with your questions and comments. I have a couple myself on a couple of big issues we'll start with. Also, next hour, we're going to tackle a couple of topics in the news as well as chat with a founder of Miracles for Vets. He's helping veterans find and repair vehicles for a leg up. So that's a great little story about Project for Vets. We always love those. Coming up on the program, we'll deal with that next hour as well. Without any further ado, Congressman Kevin Cramer, who I had the great pleasure of seeing this week on a busy week in Washington, D.C. with our broadcasters. How are you, sir?
I'm very well. Thank you, Scott. It was a busy week with your broadcasters and a whole bunch of other people that were in town and legislatively and even regulatory-wise. The FCC's got its big meeting today where it's going to try to shut down the Internet or over-regulate it. And so, yeah, it was a big week. It was great to see you guys and some of the North Dakota broadcasters that were out. And yesterday I paid tribute to them for about 45 minutes on the floor of the House. It was really fun to be part of that.
That is really neat. Well, you mentioned the Internet, so let's start with that. The two issues that I want to find out the latest on is the battle over the DHS funding, because we spent some time on that, related to the president's executive order on immigration. What else? Net neutrality is what I want to start with in the FCC vote. Now, you said to shut down the Internet. First of all, what is net neutrality? One of those dumb Washington names.
It's a bad term it's not descriptive of all of what they want to do, but it's one of these things that, the art of the term sort of shapes the argument. Net neutrality as a concept is the idea that somehow that the network would be wide open, it would be neutral, it wouldn't discriminate against content, it wouldn't discriminate, with pricing discrimination, it wouldn't. The words are throttle or block, so, throttle certain content while blocking other content. In other words, it's wide open, and let's face it, Scott, not in the last couple of hundred years has there been an innovation like the Internet that has demonstrated it in a wide open, free enterprise, open market system has proven that the ingenuity of the American entrepreneur can thrive with a light touch or no touch by the federal government. And so now the FCC under Barack Obama in a 3-2 vote, if they haven't taken it already, is going to today to launch what they call net neutrality, except that it's just the opposite. It's a heavy hand of regulation by placing the Internet service providers in the old Ma Bell monopoly Title II of the Telecommunications Act, which goes back to the 1930s, Scott. And that means that the FCC can regulate everything on the Internet because somehow they now consider it a utility, much like the electric utility that we're all familiar with in North Dakota.
And what do we think they want to do with that newfound power?
Well, it's a great point because it's an important question because the Chairman Wheeler, who, by the way, was not for this a few months ago, but then Barack Obama gave his speech in November, and suddenly the very independent FCC by statute became quite political. What he says they want to do is the things that I just talked about. Prohibit blocking of content, prohibit throttling, prohibit price discrimination. All concepts that I agree with, all concepts that Republicans agree with. In fact, they're all concepts that are currently in a legislative draft that the Energy and Commerce Committee that I sit on and the Communications and Telecommunications Subcommittee that I sit on, or I'm sorry, Communications and Technology Subcommittee, and have had bipartisan support up until the FCC decided we can do better than that. We'll pull this whole thing into Title II where we can regulate all those things, plus we can regulate things like taxes. We can regulate price, which is what Title II is really for. And it's a complete federal government takeover, frankly, of the Internet, and it's a very unhealthy prospect. So what they want to do and what they say they're going to do, you know, may be sincere. The problem is when you give a regulatory agency full authority to regulate anything, you know, today's regulatory agency might say, we don't want to regulate price, but tomorrow's might change. They might take a different position. So we're saying to provide the certainty that content providers and Internet companies need, we'll embed in the law these principles prohibiting blocking, prohibiting this kind of discrimination, but still leave the regulatory agency with a light touch, not a heavy hand.
Couple of questions that are coming from our audience on this already. And by the way, others welcome here at 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550, studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com. Duke says, I saw a Star Tribune article last night that pretty much said the Republicans have given up on this fight already. Would that be accurate?
On the net neutrality fight?
Right.
No, not at all. In fact, I suspect you're going to see a 3-2 vote in the commission, which means the two Republicans on the commission will vote against it, and the three Democrats will vote for it. And then we had a hearing on it yesterday, in fact, in the subcommittee that I serve on, Communications and Technology. What's going to happen is that this will be litigated. One of the things that people should know is that this has been tried twice before, and twice before the courts have said, no, the FCC cannot treat data the same as voice. That's really the issue here, is how you treat information or data as opposed to the voice. And so twice the courts have overturned the FCC. In fact, every time the FCC does something big like this, the courts overturn it. Every time, 100% of the time. They will again. And at the very least, the litigation is going to halt things for 2, 3, 4 years, during which time what I expect will happen is, and I expect, by the way, the litigation to begin very promptly. I expect there'll be lawsuits filed by Internet service providers very quickly after the rule comes out. But then Congress will, we're going to have a much more cooperative Democratic Party in Congress. Up to this point, up until about a couple of months ago, they've been very cooperative. All of a sudden, they became uncooperative when the president said, no, we need to take over the regulation of the Internet. And so suddenly Democrats agree with him. And now they'll be free to come back to the table when the FCC overreacts and litigation kicks in. So no, not at all. We're committed to preserving the Internet.
John says, why can't Congress just withhold all funding for the FCC? Article 1, Section 9 of the Constitution seems pretty clear, not to mention the fact these regulations feel a lot like laws.
Well, and that's the point I made in the hearing, is that the FCC is acting more like a mini congressional body than they are like a regulatory body that's supposed to follow the letter of the law as passed by Congress. One of the problems is that over the years, Congress hasn't prescribed very specific rules. And we, by the way, we don't want them too. We don't want Congress micromanaging the country, but we also don't want rogue agencies taking a little bit of liberty and using it to take massive power grabs. With regard to just defunding the FCC, I suppose we could do that, but remember, we're facing that on Friday with the Department of Homeland Security. As good a notion as that is, the House could pass such a thing, shut down the FCC, and, you know, and then it goes over to the Senate where they stare at each other for a few weeks and then send a clean bill back. Well, then, and you also have a president to deal with. The other thing is, remember, there are a lot of things the FCC does that we like regulating content on over the air broadcasts and decency, you know, maintaining decency standards, ensuring that the public airwaves are, you know, appropriately available to the public. And there's a lot of important things that they do. So just defunding them is, while it sounds like a tempting notion, it's not the kind of thing that we want Congress doing. We don't want Congress regulating the spectrum, if you will.
Jesse and Bismarck, question for Congressman Kramer. Hey, are you there? Are you there, Jesse?
Yes. Okay, Congressman Kramer, I called last fall before the election, and I asked you a question about our involvement overseas in regard to oil, and I thought you answered my question very honestly, very bluntly. Mm-hmm. I voted for you.
Thank
I appreciated
you.
That. Politicians don't do that very much today. I think you're one of the last few guys that we have in Washington, so I hope you keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
And I got two things. One, Obama said that we beat the previous record for the global temperature of 2010 was 58.24 degrees or whatever it was. But if you go to the NOAA, you'll see if you search in October 1997 that the global temperature back then was 62.45. This is a lie. I hope someone calls them out on this, and they should.
It sounds like you just did, Jesse.
Hang on, Jesse. We'll get your second point in on the other side of the break. Other calls welcome. 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. Emails welcome to studio at What's On Your Mind for Congressman Kevin Ray Kramer in the Talk Radio Town Hall.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Find the easy links at whatsonyourmindradio.com.
I'm in Senior James Shea, president of the University of Mary in Bismarck. By offering 3 full semesters per year, the University of Mary gives you the option to get your bachelor's degree in 2.6 years. We call it year-round campus. And because you graduate sooner, you spend less, save more, and get a head start on your career. Less time, less cost, less debt. Come see how the University of Mary is proving that less can be more with our new year-round campus. Schedule a visit at yearroundcampus.com, yearroundcampus.com.
February is the month of love, and everyone at the Hampton Inn of Dickinson wants to show a little love to Dickinson's teachers. They invest in our children every day, teaching more than just school subjects. Dickinson's teachers help their students learn life skills, work ethic, and respect for others. And the employees and owners of the Hampton Inn in Dickinson offer their sincere thanks. Guests enjoy a free hot breakfast, clean, fresh bed, and high-speed Wi-Fi. The Hampton Inn of Dickinson, located off I-94 and minutes from the Badlands and Theodore Roosevelt National Park.
Watford City. We're not the same. We're better. We're building, rearranging, and making room to improve the lives of our growing community. Today, we're sushi bars, fine dining, movie theaters, superior hotels, shopping centers, Main Street business, and small town service. We're water parks, play parks, walking paths, a state-of-the-art wellness center, and an up-and-coming community event center equipped for banquets, meetings, sports, special events, and much more. We're Watford City. We're kids first. Parks and rec programming, quality education, school and hospital expansions, and a superior daycare center. We're new jobs, new housing developments, new ideas, and new people coming home. We're what the buzz is all about, and we're open for business. Come see for yourself. Watford City. We're not the same. We're better.
Hi, this is Steve Spillum for Midas Resources. In 1971, President Nixon took the United States off the gold standard and put us into a fiat currency. This allowed Congress and the Federal Reserve to create trillions of dollars out of thin air. The national debt has risen to incredible heights, and your hard-earned dollars buy a small fraction of what they once did. The average life expectancy for a fiat currency is 27 years. The dollar is failing and on borrowed time. When currencies fall, people turn to gold and silver because gold and silver have been real money for more than 5,000 years. It is our mission at Midas Resources to help you preserve your capital. Don't let your personal savings shrink to nothing. For important free information on how you can protect your personal wealth, contact me, Steve Spillum, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 308. Call today while we are still accepting dollars for gold and silver. 1-800-686-2237, extension 308. Make a change in your financial security today. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 308.
Is What's On Your Mind. I'm Scott Hinnon with Todd Mitchell. Welcome to your calls, questions, and comments for Congressman Kevin Kramer of the Talk Radio Town Hall. We'll be in Harvey, North Dakota tomorrow with a What's In Your Town tour. Thanks to our friends at Cloverdale, as well as Marvin Windows, Grafton, Arvig Communications, and the Little Missourian Suites and Teddy's Residential Suites of Watford City and Newtown. Our sponsors that bring us all across the great state of North Dakota, and Harvey, North Dakota, our stop tomorrow, so looking forward to that. very much. Congressman Kevin Cramer here, and back to the questions. Jesse, you had one other question for him that you wanted to get.
Okay, Obama vetoed the Keystone Pipeline. I think a lot of people knew he was going to do this, but I think he's doing this because he has nothing to gain by approving it, and this is going to be a strategy that he's going to defer down the line to the next Democratic nominee. At some point through their campaign, they're going to say, I will vote for this. So I think this is all just a strategy play.
You know, Jesse, I had never thought of that, but you raise a very interesting political question, because considering that Hillary Clinton, when she was Secretary of State, had the authority as the Secretary of State to recommend signing that presidential permit. That's really her bailiwick. And TransCanada and many in the industry were very confident when she was Secretary of State that this would not be a problem. So if in fact she's, of course, one of the candidates, she would have a hard time, I think, answering that question to the satisfaction of the far left in the Hollywood crowd. It would be very interesting to see that played out, frankly, in Democratic politics. But the new twist now, Jesse and listeners, is that the Canadian government is considering, I don't know if they're considering, but they have as a possible option filing a North American Free Trade Agreement complaint over the Obama administration's handling of this pipeline, especially if he decides to disallow it. If he declines signing the presidential permit, they would have a pretty good shot in the NAFTA court, because this would be a breach of their of the NAFTA agreement. Very, very interesting things playing out.
Appreciate the call, Jesse.
Thanks, Jesse.
And let's go to Jamie in Bismarck for Congressman Kevin Cramer. You're next.
Hey, Jamie.
Morning. Hey, I see the ATF, and I'm sure with Obama's great approval, they're trying to ban a lot of 223 ammunition, like M855 ball, you know, like military surplus ammo that civilians have been able to shoot for years. They're trying to say now that it's armor piercing and ban it, which, you know, most of that ammo was shot through 223 AR-15s, and we all know what Obama and Democrats think of those kind of firearms, so it's another way to harass us. And Bob Goodlatte, he's drafting a letter to give to the BATF and try and stop them from doing this, and I was just hoping you'd be on board with that, Kevin.
I'm already a signature on the letter.
Awesome. I knew you would be. Hey, it's great having you as our representative. I really like it. You keep up the good work down there.
Thank you, Jamie.
You bet.
Appreciate the call. I want to just finish on net neutrality before we go to Department of Homeland Security issues that we have questions on from listeners as well. Both in what's been proposed in the Congress and what the FCC is trying to do, the one thing I can't get my arms around is what's the problem they're trying to fix? Where's the pain?
There's the million-dollar question.
Where did this all start?
Yeah, so actually, Scott, back in 2009, when I was chairman of the North Dakota Public Service Commission, I wrote an op-ed in the New York Times asking that very question. This in 2009, because at that time, you might remember, Senator Dorgan was pushing this net neutrality idea in the United States Senate. And I was, you know, I am a regulator of telecommunications going, what in the world is the problem that we're trying to fix? And I was asked a lot of questions. I attended a lot of workshops. I read a lot of information. I was thinking, there's not a problem. So occasionally you'll find a situation where maybe a Comcast, for example, a cable company has had a complaint filed by a content provider saying, you know, that they blocked me or they throttled my competition or something like that. And whenever that has happened, it has been resolved very quickly without any really FCC, you know, intervention. It is not a problem. In fact, the problems, in my view, will come when the FCC would have this heavy-handed regulation, and people like Comcast, Verizon, AT&T, the local rural telephone cooperatives, whoever it might be, is suddenly constrained by how much they can earn, which means they'll be constrained by how much they can invest. And then you'll see a choking of intervention of inventions and the ingenuity, not just, by the way, for those that are providing the internet services, the cable companies, the wireless companies, the satellite companies, telephone companies, but then But then that will, of course, naturally trickle to the, you know, to the Silicon Valley people. You've got the edge people like Google and Facebook, and then you've got the other content inside of all of that. You got big content like Netflix. Yeah, you've got the guy in his garage. All of this is wide open today and available. But if you start constraining the incentive for investment, it'll go the other direction. And by the way, price keeps coming down as well. There's no regulator like the consumer.
My friend Phil Kirpin, an American Commitment,
I know Phil,
and a few others have been waving the concern about the Ford Foundation and George Soros pouring a bunch of money into this. What do we know about that?
You know, it's interesting. I think it demonstrates part of the problem we're having. When not that long ago, we had a lot of cooperation among people, including the content providers, the Silicon Valley network, along with the cable companies, the wireless companies, and whatnot, the internet service providers. And you had a lot of cooperation between Republicans and Democrats. In fact, at yesterday's hearing, the former chairman of the Communications and Technology Subcommittee, Rick Boucher, former House member, Democrat, testified in opposition to what the FCC and the Obama administration is doing. And we had that kind of cooperation, but it wasn't until this president and the George Soros crowd, if you will, came into it. Well, what happens is, my question is this, who's beholden to who? It used to be that you felt sort of like Democrats were beholden to the Silicon Valley, you know, geniuses. I think it's the other way around. I think the George Soros crowd and the Barack Obama have put so much political stock in this that they've sort of forced that group to sort of come along with them as opposed to the other way around. So I think when one has to look at it in the context of recent history, you can put it in the context of the EPA, the Department of the Interior, the FDA, the whoever you want, whatever, name the agency, USDA, Department of Energy, name the agency, and under this president, they have been after a power grab of massive proportions, historical proportions, and I just think this is one more piece of that formula.
All right, let's get this question on DHS funding.
Toyota.
Yeah, wait a minute here. Something's wrong with that.
A comment and a question for the congressman. Comment, what battle over DHS funding? Haven't the Republicans already capitulated? Yeah, it did us a lot of good to elect Republican majorities. Question for Congressman Cramer. What good did it do us to elect Republican majorities in the House and the Senate when their Democrats are winning everything because the Republicans capitulate?
All right. Did he repeat
himself? Okay, so I think it was the same question in two forms.
Yeah, hang on a sec because we're up against the break here. So
sure.
There'll be lots of time to ponder that question. And then we'll talk about that question of DHS and this battle with the Senate as well on how best to handle the funding issue. Other questions welcome, too, by the way, at 800-228-0550. Nathan, north of Minot, we'll get to you, Kieran, too. Stay tuned.
We want to know what's on your mind. So call and tell us at 800-228-0550 or 701-258-0550.
By now, you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins. But did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoin. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
Are you hungry for delicious, nutritious, rich, and satisfying home-cooked meals? Discover the Vita Clay 4-in-1 Smart Organic Cooker. Unglazed Zeesha Clay, an ancient secret that makes this fast multi-cooker so special. Infusing your food with incredible flavors, perfect texture, vitamins, and minerals for your good health. It's a slow cooker, rice cooker, a steamer, plus a yogurt maker. Go to VitaClayChef.com and enter promo code RADIO20 for 20% off at checkout. That's VitaClayChef.com.
It's no secret that government and big business buy in bulk and get huge discounts not available to the little guy.
until now. Introducing a breakthrough crowd buying website where people can join together, buy in bulk, and get massive discounts on millions of popular products. It's TogetherSave.com. TogetherSave.com. You can save 20, 30, or even 50% off tablets, smartphones, cars, appliances, textbooks, sports equipment, video games, and much more. All with free delivery. Check it out. TogetherSave.com. Visit now and start group buying today at TogetherSave.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite is a 7-herb heart protection cocktail designed to support cardiovascular health, blood pressure, and cholesterol levels. February is Heart Month, and we at Heart Drop 2000 are having our Heart Month sale with prices from 6 years ago. Starting now until February 28th, you can purchase a 4-month supply of either capsules or liquid for only $125, including shipping and handling. To help you, help yourself. So call now to take advantage of this one-time offer. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Before the top of the hour, what's on your mind? The Talk Radio Town Hall today with Congressman Kevin Cramer in this first hour. Questions, comments, welcome at 800-228-0550. Nathan Minot, Karen Fargo, Bob Grafton in on deck here, and we're answering a question from before the break on the DHS funding that
sure.
didn't
So the caller's question was, why have Republicans in the Congress capitulated on DHS funding? And I would remind the caller that the House of Representatives passed a DHS funding bill that prohibits the president's unilateral overreach on amnesty. Passed it. It passed. It went to the Senate. That's where it is still is, by the way. To the degree that, you know, I suppose the argument is being made that Mitch McConnell has capitulated by now separating the two aspects of it, that, you know, having a clean DHS funding bill and then separating out for a separate vote the what we call the leverage, which is defunding or prohibiting the president's unilateral overreach, and then he'll send the bill back to us. That's not the end of it. That is not the end of it. Now, in Mitch McConnell's defense, remember, he has to have 60 votes to move something along, and he took 4 votes in the Senate on our bill, and all 4 times, every Democrat in the Senate, hear me carefully, every one of them, even the 8 that previously stated they think the president overreached, every one of them voted for filibustering. So he could not take a vote, take up a vote. He couldn't even have a debate on our bill. He couldn't even amend our bill. So not until he offered this up was he able to get the 60 votes. He got 98 or something like that to move forward. But when it comes back to us, I will not vote for a clean DHS funding bill. I'm not going to give up the leverage that we have. We have to keep the country safe, but 85% of the Department of Homeland Security is essential service, and they have to work regardless of whether we pass a funding bill. Now, we need to pass it eventually because we want them to get paid. And so, you know, the people that are working obviously deserve to be paid. But we also have the other side of that being played out in court now, which is an additional piece of ammunition and momentum on our side. And I think people have to, you know, understand and view it in a holistic fashion. But we've not capitulated one inch.
Let's see. Who's going to go next here? I've got a follow-up, but I don't want these folks to wait any longer. So I'll go to Nathan, north of Minot. You're next on What's on Your Mind. It's like in just a little bit north of Minot or like, you know, a different community. Where are you at, Nathan?
We'll just say north of Minot. Can I do that?
You afraid the SEC is going to come find you or something? Or?
No, I don't know about that. No, I hope it hasn't come to that yet. But I don't know. What it might be controversial here. I agree. Thank you, Congressman Cramer, for all your hard work and keeping the president in line. I've worked with trying. Yeah, that's a hard job. I've worked with the internet since it began back when Prodigy and CompuServe, I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, sure.
Back in the early days, and seen it evolve to what it is, and it's probably the greatest invention the U.S. has made probably since the automobile or the Industrial Revolution. If they get their hands on that and control it, it's just going to make it slow for everybody. We in North Dakota here in some of the rural areas where I'm at, we just got the high-speed internet here, fiber optic to our home and stuff like that. And, boy, if they try to slow it down, that's not good.
Have we ever seen the government speed it up?
No.
Yeah.
And then that kind of a follow-up question on that. Wednesday, when the president's done in office, and hopefully we have a Republican president and a Republican Congress, a lot of these executive actions and different regulations, he's told the FCC and the EPA, can those be rolled back?
Okay, that's a great question, Nathan. In the case of the FCC, for example, this order, when it's done today, it'll be litigated. There'll be a new president. Even whether it's a Republican or Democrat, there will no doubt be at least one or two new FCC commissioners. They can roll back the same thing just as easily as they did it as they vote on it today. That's how quickly they can operate. And they do it in complete closed doors. Nobody sees the rule until they vote on it. Can you imagine that? So, yes, a lot of that stuff can be done. Rolling back is always hard. You take the EPA as an example because there is the public comment period and all those kinds of things. But, yes, an aggressive Republican, an aggressive conservative president could put aggressively conservative people in these agencies and, yes, undo a lot of the things. But in the meantime, and even during that time, what I think, if your wish comes true and we have a Republican Congress and a Republican president, even if it's for only 2 years, had better be willing to be as aggressive in rolling this stuff back and even more in rolling back the overreach of the federal agencies by cutting their budgets, cutting their regulations, cutting their authority so that we make it very difficult to go back the other way. Obamacare is the best example. Democrats had everything for 2 years. They gave us Obamacare, and it seems to be the most unsettled and unsettling thing in our government. It's holding our economy back, and you see how difficult it is to undo these things.
I'm 52, and I might be a little on the, I followed politics since I was in my early teens and watched presidents and congressmen, and I know all their names and where they're from and all that. I've never seen a president in, 52. I'm 52, and I've never seen a president do things like this president has done. You can't comprehend it.
It's unprecedented in history. When you look at the Federal Register and the executive actions, there's nothing like it. That the pages committed to rules far, far, far exceed anything in previous times. I think four of the five largest congressional records with regard to federal registries with regard to rules. Four of the five largest have been in the last 5 years.
I'll let somebody else get some questions in there. I listen to you just about every time you're on, so keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Nathan. Others welcome at 800-228-0550. By the way, when you call, you can press 1 to leave a message with your question or comment. Press 2 to chat with Congressman Kramer on the air at 800-228-0550. Here's a call that came in during the last break.
Yeah, that net neutrality would basically shut your radio station down. And I'll bet you anything at Kramer that they pulled on this immigration deal because they had let it go through the courts. Come up with a clean deal, and then the courts will look at it and say, well, it's what the people want. The Republicans are just as much in it as the Democrats. They've done absolutely nothing to help the American people. Thanks.
All right. Politico wrote a story saying this is a monumental test for John Boehner.
Yeah, I actually, the Wall Street Journal has been doing a series of stories. I've been interviewed for every one of them on this very point. And I think somewhat because I try to bring a fairly rational voice to it all. I don't see how anybody could, at this point anyway, blame John Boehner for any part of this. I mean, remember, you can even go back to the Cromnibus when he promised that this is what he was going to do. And people said, oh, no, he won't. He'll never do that. And then he did it. He did it. He defunded the president's overreach. The story today in the Wall Street Journal is that the latest is that John Boehner's not even talking to Mitch McConnell. Now, I doubt that's the case. I suspect they're talking. They talk at least once a week. But Harry Reid does not dictate what the House of Representatives does. And one of the things that Harry Reid was trying to do in the last couple of days before he would agree to unleash what clearly his conference caucus, which is 100% for whatever he wants, evidently, because the eight of them changed their mind about the president's unilateral overreach and voted to filibuster this thing. He wanted John Boehner's assurances that the House is going to go along with them. And John Boehner said, We don't do what you want us to do. That's not what we do. We do what we want to do. You do what you want to do. Now, I think it's a good idea that they're doing what they're doing because at the very least it forces the Senate to act so we can get the bill back and then have a conference committee and find out if there is some place where we can find some agreement and move this ball forward so that we can defund or roll back the president's overreach.
Is there a version to a shutdown over DHS funding? Is this a hand-wringing moment for the Republican majority, do you believe?
I think the hand-wringing moment is whether or not John Boehner would allow a vote to take place with the vast majority of Republicans not voting for it. And because then you could get, if you got every Democrat and enough Republicans, enough moderate Republicans, and you know, you start throwing in California and Florida and some places where this is a tougher issue for a lot of people. If there were enough people like that that would go along with a straight, clean DHS funding bill, he could bring it to the floor and let that happen. I personally do not see that happening, but I've not talked to the speaker personally or directly about it in the last couple of days. I heard from him yesterday.
Well, yesterday morning.
Absolutely
you're saying
not.
So in other words, that would be the strategy the Senate's taking, where you'd have
separate bills.
Okay, but I'm saying is there? Do you think that? I mean, the what everybody claims is that the Republicans are afraid to shut down funding for DHS and have it shut down because it politically will be a loser. But
I don't think there's any question about that, Scott. And that's why we'll talk about the court situation. The court action down in Texas provides some breathing room and provide some momentum for our position. So, I hate to talk about what could happen, but what could happen is if we hit the Friday night deadline, we could provide a short-term continuing resolution for, say, a couple more weeks, three or four more weeks, during which time the court case plays itself out, or at least we get a better signal. Because remember, the Obama administration is threatening to go over the head of the judge. Imagine that. And the way they do that is to go to the Fifth Circuit and to the appellate judges, and because they've asked this judge that issued the injunction to now stay his injunction. Craziest idea. If you know anything about law, you know that a judge doesn't say, this is likely to win, therefore I'm going to stay it, and then comes back and says, but on the other hand, it could lose, so therefore I'm going to stay my stay. Crazy. So they have, I think, until next Monday before they have oral arguments, and then it could go to the Fifth Circuit, then it's a panel of judges, and then ultimately it would go to the Supreme Court, where the Fifth Circuit justice on the Supreme Court, they say the justice that acts on injunctions, is Justice Scalia. So when you look at it from a legal standpoint, we feel like we're in pretty good place right now. And that's what I mean by you have to look at this thing holistically. And so we could do a short-term CR or something like that. But I do not see the House of Representatives capitulating on the president's unilateral overreach.
All right. So hopefully that answers that question. More of your calls when we come back with questions for Congressman Kevin Cramer in the Talk Radio Town Hall. Don't go away.
Serving the Northern Plains, this is What's on Your Mind. Back to more of your calls straight ahead.
Welcome to Soybean Minute with Diana Biedelsbacher.
We are often asked what the difference is between the North Dakota Soybean Council and the North Dakota Soybean Growers Association. The council and the association are two different organizations with one focus, to ensure the success of North Dakota soybean farmers. Both groups serve this purpose in different ways. The Soybean Council collects and invests soybean checkoff dollars in such areas as production research, producer education, and programs designed to increase demand and expand markets for soybeans and soy products. The Soybean Growers Association is a statewide, member-driven organization that focuses on state and national policy issues, which by law the checkoff cannot do. They conduct legislative activities in Bismarck and Washington to improve the profitability of their members and the entire soybean industry. For more information, visit our website at ndsoybean.org.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
PetroServe USA, helping America feel better. Look for the red, white, blue, and pull on in, giving you choice at the pump by connecting North Dakota's cornfields with North Dakota's oil fields. That helps Main Street and your street, too. And there's always great deals at PetroServe USA. I'm always on the go. I love the 4-for-4 special, lunch or dinner. Check it out. It's a hot stuff personal pan pizza, a 20-ounce soda, or a coffee if you like, 2 cookies. 4 for $4. That's right, 4 items for $4. A great deal. Or take advantage of some of these great specials all month long at PetroServe USA, like the Deli Express Double XL Charbroil with Cheese, or the Double XL Chicken and Cheese, or the Barbecue Rib Double XL, all only $2.99. Pringles Grab and Go, 79 cents. Got a sweet tooth? Me too. How about General Mills Pillsbury Cookies for 79 cents? Charms Lollipops, 2 for $1. Or the Mixed Gummies, just $1.29. Helping America fuel better. PetroServe USA. Look for the red, white, and blue at their 20-plus locations all across North Dakota and Minnesota. And tell them Scott sent you.
Hi, this is Larry Smith. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. Like when the jeweler ruined my ring and wouldn't do anything about it. But when my Legal Shield attorney called him and told him what my rights were, I received a check for over $2,100. Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com, or call 855-340-SAVE. Again, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Genesis is defined as an origin, creation, or the beginning. Genesis Communications Network began with the mission of providing you with the kind of compelling content you're listening to now. And at GCNLive.com, you'll find a free archive of our nation's history, narrated by GCN hosts. Explore, share, and pass down to future generations. GCN is the future of talk radio, but we should always strive to learn from our past. Together, we are GCNLive.com. GCN.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products, most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com. And be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Your mind, 11 before the top of the hour. President Obama is doing 4 regional interviews with television stations around the country. One of them from North Dakota, WDAY's TV 6 co-anchor Kirsten Keeley will be interviewing the president at the White House today, and that'll be airing later tonight. And we're going to be asking you next hour what questions you'd ask, because they're asking us for suggestions on what questions. So how about you, Congressman Cramer? What would you ask the president tonight?
I think right now, if I had him in front of me, I'd say, Mr. President, how many people's heads have to be cut off by the Islamic State before you'll admit that it's the Islamic State, and before you will, and then I might follow up by saying, and this resolution you sent to Congress asking for authority to use military force, why would you tell them when you're going to end it, and why would you tell them what weapons and means of war you are willing to not use? Why would you give them the strategy of engagement in war?
Well, that'd be one way to get that question and that answer on a lot of media. I hope we hopefully can get to Kirsten before the interview, because I think we'd probably hear that on a few news channels. Maybe, you know, everybody be borrowing that answer.
I think they would. I think that would be a big national story if you could get him to answer that question. Does it make sense to tell the enemy what exactly you're willing to do and what you're willing not to do before you declare war?
And nobody asked this. I mean, nobody asked the White House press secretary. It's crazy. Bob in Grafton, question for Congressman Kramer. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for taking my call. Hi, Congressman. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I've got some comments on that poll issue, too, but we'll save that for another day. But I have a critical comment, and I have a positive comment. The critical comment is, you know, I hold John Boehner responsible for the passing and funding of Obamacare till October here. No Republican, not one, voted for Obamacare at its inception. Then he went directly to Harry Reid and Barack Obama and that other guy and allowed his political adversary to draft their own budget. Didn't allow not one conservative to be in on it. Didn't allow the 72-hour viewing as he promised. So he pulled a Nancy Pelosi on that and rushed that whole thing through before Christmas to deny the incoming elected representatives to cast their vote. I hold him responsible for that. John Boehner had done nothing to get this landswell election. The American people delivered that to Congress for them to get something done. Now, my positive comment is for you. I'm so glad to hear an electoral representative make the point that 80% of Homeland Security is deemed essential, and just a very small portion of it is what is being considered in this Homeland Security funding bill. And I compliment you, sir, for making that point. I think you need to keep drumming that point and you need to just keep sounding the drums on that point, because more elected representatives have to make that known rather than just the talk show hosts. So yeah. I compliment you on that.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
You know, Bob, who I really give a lot of credit to, and Scott, I know he's a friend of yours and he's been on your show, but Pete Sessions from Texas really was the guy that first articulated that point in sort of shaping the bill that we passed, stating that, you know, really, if Homeland Security doesn't get funded, 85% of it still has to operate. Now, here's the political catch, Bob, is that the part that doesn't get funded are the people that write the checks to the, you know, to the border security guards and others that are keeping us safe. And that's where the politics enters in and where we have to be careful. It's one thing to have them out there protecting us. It's another thing to have them protecting us and not get a paycheck when their house payments are due. So that's where we get a little bit, crosswise. We have to maneuver that. But thanks for the encouragement. And I understand your frustration with the speaker, but I do think he's got the most difficult job in politics.
Tim and Colm, you're next for Congressman Kramer. Go ahead.
Tim.
Good morning. Congressman, I commend you for your position on this DHS funding package. And I also differ a little bit. I'm supporting Boehner with the tact that he is taking right now in saying it's the Senate Democrats. They're the ones who are holding up the show. Problem that I have is I don't think there are enough Senate Republicans with backbone to actually say enough is enough. We're not going to do this the way the president wants this done, because under the Affordable Health Care Act, that got rammed down the Republicans' throat. The Democrats and Obama has showed us what they will do. And now is the time where if 80% of DHS is going to get funded anyway, I mean, they're going to get paid to go to work.
Eventually.
And with this immigration thing, the president overstepped his constitutional bounds. The other problem that I have is that there are Republican strategists, people like, I'm not going to name names, but there are guys who are consultants presidential candidate.
Sure.
And they're saying that if the Republicans go through with this, it's going to hurt the Republicans in 2016. And that's a bunch of bull. That isn't going to hurt. What happened in 2014 is we showed where we're standing on this on thing. And now's the time to stand up and show a little guts.
Yeah, I think, Kim, you raise an interesting point where this particular issue especially. Now, I know that Homeland Security is a concern for people, but I think this is one that the more it plays out, the better it looks for us, especially now that we have a court decision on our side. We ought to use that momentum not to capitulate, but use that momentum to sort of hold their feet to the fire even more.
You bet. I would want to add one quick thing here.
Sure.
We're running out of time, but Tim should know Senator Hovind was on this with us yesterday.
Yes.
He's completely on board with the House way of doing this. The person we need to get on board is Senator Heidi Heitkamp. So if, and you mentioned that last week, Kevin, as well. So North Dakotans ought to be letting her know what they think about this as well, because she's a crucial vote there. Congressman Kevin Cramer, thanks a bunch. That's the Talk Radio Town Hall for the week.
Northwest Landowners Association in North Dakota was established to help maintain a balance between resource development and property rights of individuals. We want to be the conduit between private property owners and North Dakota industry in both directions. The association is the united voice of landowners finding solutions to problems. We want to ensure that our kids and grandkids have the same opportunity to make a living off the land that we've had. Go to nwlandowners.com to view our mission and get information on membership. The Northwest Landowners Association strives to create a network of information, support, education, promote property rights issues to ensure a balanced and fair development of our resources. To accomplish this, we bring together a network of property owners, operators, and residents to share and discuss information to ensure the resources are developed in a responsible manner. Go to nwlandowners.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out...
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason! You only once. Twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at gcnlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at gcnlive.com.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.